with our good buddy Ryan Callahan over in Knoxville with GoVols247.com. Ryan, thank you again, as always. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
All right, so after the smoke cleared on Saturday afternoon, 14 straight losses now for the Tennessee Vols to Alabama. Overall, when you look at what transpired over those 3 hours on Saturday afternoon, what's your general assessment of Tennessee and the effort that they gave and the, you know, despite the 48-17 loss, but something maybe positive to take away from Saturday?
Yeah, so I think you touched on it there. The word that comes to mind for me is effort, because I think that the outcome is about what you expected. You know, it's Alabama. They've got a great offense. They're the number two team in the country. And Tennessee, quite frankly, just isn't at that level yet. They're not ready to really challenge Alabama. Even though they were in the game with them in the fourth quarter last year, that was, to me, a weird game where, you know, Tua Tagovailoa is out because of an injury. I don't think you could expect a repeat of that performance with Alabama rolling the way it's been offensively. So the outcome about what you expected, but to me, kind of a wasted opportunity and maybe not the effort you expected to see from Tennessee for four quarters from the coaching staff on down, because to me, it felt like Tennessee just sort of, you know, lied down and took it in that game. Once Alabama took a sizable lead, I didn't see enough fight from Tennessee. It seemed like they just sort of accepted the outcome. And it seemed like they wasted some opportunities to get some young guys some experience. They weren't as aggressive as I would have thought Tennessee might be. I thought you might see, you know, an onside kick from them after a touchdown. You know, they had a key opportunity, I thought, at 21-10 after scoring a touchdown to maybe try an onside kick there or do something to be aggressive and try to get back in the game there and make it interesting. Didn't see that from them. And then I thought in the second half, just, you know, once the game sort of got away from them, I thought they wasted some opportunities to get some young guys out there when the game was maybe when there weren't just backups on both sides, when it wasn't completely garbage time. You had a chance to maybe play some young guys, get them some experience, and see what you have in some positions with some of your youth going into a really critical second half of the season now. So I thought just kind of a lackluster effort at times from Tennessee, and I didn't see enough aggression and enough fight from Tennessee, frankly. And that's maybe more concerning to me than just the score, looking at it from the standpoint of what Tennessee needs to do over the second half of the season. I thought they could have done some other things to put up a better fight and to get themselves ready for the stretch run. And I don't think they got all that much accomplished, but they did play better on the offensive line, hit some deep balls to Jalin Hyatt. So you got some positives to work on and things that will really come into play in the second half, but just could have gotten more out of that game, I thought, if they had approached it differently and maybe, you know, responded better when Alabama got up by double digits.
And look, it's one of these things, too, and, you know, because one of the conversations about Alabama early on over the first 3 weeks was the fact that, you know, what's wrong with Alabama's defense? I mean, I go back to the 63-48 win over Ole Miss, and I go back that in 2020, with regards to a lot of these teams, the fact that no spring drills, I really felt like the defense behind the offenses early on. But we go back to that second half last week for Alabama against Georgia, where they shut Georgia down in the second half. Georgia doesn't even score a single point. And now we look at what Alabama was able to do on Saturday against Tennessee. It wasn't that Tennessee wasn't executing. I think the Alabama defense is finally getting up to, you know, quote-unquote game speed, and the defense is finally catching up with, you know, and how good we thought that the defense was going to be for this Alabama team.
That may be. I think we'll find out more about that over the second half of the season for Alabama, because I think they clearly do have the talent on that side of the ball to be better. But I also don't know that this will be an Alabama defense that's kind of like maybe what we're used to seeing 5, 6, 7 years ago when Alabama's defense really, really dominated games. I don't know that they'll be quite at that level, but I do think they are starting to play better. And if you're an Alabama fan, that's certainly got to make you feel better going into some you know, more important games, obviously, toward the end of the regular season and getting into possible postseason play. But I do think, you know, Tennessee, frankly, just wasn't doing enough to really threaten Alabama in that game. You know, they took some shots down the field, and they hit a few. And frankly, I think we can say now that that's got to be one of the strengths of Tennessee's offense. You know, Jarrett Garantano has made some of those plays to Josh Palmer down the sideline and out to Jalen Hyatt, that I think, A, Hyatt needs to play more. I think he's shown that his speed can be a problem for opposing teams, even if he struggles to get off press coverage at times. You've got to let him learn and find a way to get through it, because he's shown he can be a difference maker out there. And Josh Palmer has been a pretty consistent playmaker. So, it's not with Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings this year, and yet we're still seeing Garantano throw a nice deep ball down the sideline and give his guys a chance to make a play. So I think you maybe got to do that a little bit more. Tennessee's run game, though, wasn't very good in this game. You know, how much of that was Alabama? How much was that Tennessee's offensive line not getting enough of a push? You know, the numbers were just okay there. But Tennessee's offensive line didn't give up a sack in this game. I think that's a real positive to build on, because I don't – several times, I like Garantano pushed – went back in the pocket and had plenty of time to throw. And that's something he hasn't had for a lot of the year. So maybe it was just the way Alabama approached things defensively and sat back in coverage. But I thought Tennessee protected it well, and that's something they can build on. And, it's an Alabama defense that, maybe gave them some opportunities to score more. But they just, didn't push the issue, didn't make a whole lot happen aside from those few deep balls they hit to score those touchdowns that we saw Saturday.
Where's the faith in Jeremy Pruitt being the answer for this Tennessee program to recapture what that tradition means?
I think it's starting to crack a little bit for a lot of fans. I think there's definitely some concern now, because a lot of people know the stats on all these things. What's the stat that has been out there for years, that Philip Fulmer was the last SEC head coach maybe to win an SEC title that won his first after his second year. So often these days you find out whether a head coach, has it by year two or certainly by year three in a lot of cases. So I think fans have started to believe, and I think, Butch Jones is maybe, depending on how you look at it, can be an example or not an example of that, where Tennessee was still on the way up in year three under Butch Jones, but they also had some missed opportunities that year against Florida, against Oklahoma, where they probably could have won the SEC East if they had taken care of business, but they had some glaring, strange decisions by Butch Jones in some cases, and just some not being aggressive enough, things like that. I think some fans believe, a lot of fans probably, that you can kind of make up your mind about a head coach these days by the end of year three, that you can tell a lot by the end of year three, no matter how big of a rebuild it is. So I think there are some people that feel that way that now look at his resume and say, he lost to Georgia State last year. You lost to BYU. Sure, you climbed out of it, but there were a lot of SEC teams on the schedule that were not very good, that you just sort of beat at the end of the season and got caught fire against a fairly favorable schedule. And then this year you now had a 27-point loss to Kentucky that a lot of people would argue should not happen under any circumstances for Tennessee, and it hadn't happened by that big of a margin since 1935. So When you look at that, firing a defensive line coach midseason, I think there are some things that fans look at now that are concerning to them. And you see an offense that's kind of spinning its wheels. Even though Jared Garantano settled things down Saturday and played better, didn't throw an interception, what's that side of the ball doing right now that's generating a lot of excitement? I don't see a lot of reason for fans to be thrilled about where that side of the ball is headed. And now there's some legitimate concern that you go to Arkansas after the open date this week, and that's a game you easily could lose because Arkansas is playing better. So you got to get some things working better than they are right now if Tennessee's going to have a better second half. And I think the second half will tell the tale, but I think fans are starting to worry a little bit.
Over the weekend, Alabama, with a commitment, the number one cornerback in all the land, JaQuincy McKinstry. Alabama now, remember how we were talking about what's wrong with Alabama recruiting for 2021 back in April, where they were around the 50 mark of 130 teams? The number one recruiting class now, five stars as part of this recruiting class. 17 of their 22 commitments are either four stars or five stars with this latest commitment.
Yeah, and we kind of said this at the time. I don't think, when teams like Tennessee were racking up commitments this spring, early in the dead period, and you saw Alabama lower in the rankings and people kind of wondering, well, where's Alabama? What's going on with them? I don't think they were panicking, and I don't think they've panicked at any point, because they've always been in the mix for some guys like McKinstry. Like some of the other players they've landed in recent months. And I think they've still felt good about their chances of landing those guys, and they're showing now they were right not to worry at that time. There are 22 commitments, and they've gone past Ohio State, obviously, which has had a tremendous class for months, and they're now 6 points ahead of them in the 24/7 Sports composite team rankings. So when you see what Alabama's doing, what they've done already, and what they still could add to this class, they're clearly rolling in recruiting, and that's not something we should be surprised by at this point from a Nick Saban staff. But they've obviously responded pretty well to Georgia challenging them more over the past 3 years. You know, Clemson's won more of those battles in recent years. They've got more competition, but they're showing right now they're still a team you don't want to go head to head with very often, because they're often going to win one of those battles.
Before we let you go, remind everybody again what they can expect when they go to GoVols247.com.
Yeah, tons of coverage this week. Looking at Tennessee at the halfway point of the season and this week's open date. Recruiting, got some key decisions coming up for some Tennessee targets. Looking at that and much more during the open date, and plenty to keep track of as we look ahead to hopefully basketball season. Any news there as well? And you can track it all. GoVols247.com and sign up right now for 50% off an annual subscription if you sign up today.
Ryan, thank you so much. Have a great week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Johnny.